How fitting is this last song throughout the Lord has given us this morning. I've been in the book of Acts in my personal devotional time reading. And this message was born out of that today. And I feel like the Lord wants to raise up some midnight praisers. How do you know it's easy to praise God when the sun is shining? How many are willing to praise Him no matter what you're involved in, no matter what's going on?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, this message is for you today. I feel like the Holy Spirit is trying to speak something fresh to us today. Acts chapter 16. Would you stand with me and speak the word together? Acts chapter 16, beginning with verse number 16. Now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her master's much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. How do you know we have power in the name of Jesus over evil spirits?
Amen.
Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them and threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely, having received such a charge, and put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, everybody say, "But at midnight."
Amen.
Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was an earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm. We are all here." And he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Will you stretch your hand toward me? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome to move in and through me as you desire and as you will, and as you will and desire through your people today. Holy Spirit, just come in this atmosphere and do your work in the name of Jesus. This is your service. This is your service. We are your people. It's not about our agenda. It's about your agenda. So Holy Spirit, we just pray that you have free reign and free liberty to do as you will, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So we're asking for liberty in this place right now, in every life, in every heart, in every situation, in the name of Jesus. We just thank you, Lord, that the demonic spirits of hell have to leave in the name of Jesus Christ, and every power of darkness that would try to invade or disrupt in any way, in the name of Jesus Christ, we command you, Satan, and every one of your evil minions to flee right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you for liberty. We thank you for freedom. We thank you for breakthrough in the house of the living God. Jesus, come and do your work. Jesus, come. You are welcome in this place. Holy Ghost anointing, just settle down in this place today. Won't you lift your hands and say, "Lord, come and do your work in my life." If you want it, come on, lift your hands and say, "God, I want a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit." Holy Spirit, I am open to be moving in my life. It's in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray in these things. And everybody said,
amen.
Hallelujah. You sing that praise, praiseful spirit with me as you receive it. You know, Paul and Silas, they faced an unexpected turn of events. After they cast out this spirit of divination in this girl, she used her demonically inspired talents, if you will, to make a pretty good income for her slave masters. When her masters saw that she no longer had the gift, they became infuriated. Why? Because it was all about the money. Having of it, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And here it was present in the book of Acts, chapter 16, and they were looking for Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. Notice they didn't tell the judge these men cast a powerful demonic influence out of a slave girl and now they can no longer rip the people off. No, they didn't want to tell the truth. They wanted to hide the truth and they wanted to be devious and scheming. And they became pious and civically minded. And they claimed these men being Jews exceedingly trouble our city. Oh, how were they troubling the city? Well, they were preaching Jesus. They were just healing those who were sick. They were just casting out demons. And they called that exceedingly troubling the city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. What a day that they experienced. Because the Bible says they were on their way to prayer. Have you ever been on your way to do the will of God? Have you ever been on your way to do something that God calls you to do? Have you ever been on your way to fulfill a mission that He had placed in your heart and immediately be met with opposition and the attacks of the enemy? I'm here to tell somebody here this morning that when you're doing something, when the enemy starts fighting and you start facing the attacks of the enemy, that is a great confirmation that you're on the right track. And that's the very moment that you got to dig your heels in even deeper and say, I'm going to get through this. I'm going to press through this. I'm going to be determined to fulfill this mission that God has put in my life. I want to see breakthrough in my life. Notice that Paul and Silas were not willing to let anything keep them from fulfilling the mission that God had put in their hearts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can imagine them both beginning to regain consciousness. Hours later, from the severe beating that they had endured. Can you just imagine? There's no telling. I don't know how many stripes that were placed upon them. I don't know how many times they took those rods and beat them, all because they were preaching Jesus Christ. They slowly pulled themselves upright, no doubt, with some groaning and some wincing and maybe some broken ribs and some cuts and some bruises that reminded them of everything that had happened. Their eyes probably were trying to adjust to the darkness. How do you know that it was probably dark in that inner prison dungeon cell? Maybe they saw a few rats running around, and maybe they smelled the awful stench of sewage. I mean, this wasn't an atmosphere conducive to what you and I would determine as a praiseful atmosphere. I mean, you know, we got to have everything just right, and everything's got to be comfortable, and everything's got to be just the way we want it, and then we want to worship God. But can I just tell you here today, you got to have an attitude that worships God, and even when the circumstances are not favorable, and even when the air condition is not just like you want it, and even when this is not like you want it, or that's not like you want it to. Just think about Paul and Silas. They decided right then and there, we're not going to let the days of events keep us from praising our God and fulfilling the mission He's put in our hearts. We're going to praise Him even more. They could have started complaining. They could have talked about the unfair treatment they had received. No one's come in to tend to our wounds. No one's come in to bring any bandages. No one's come in to bring some peroxide and try to get this infection out of these wounds. Nobody's helping us. They could have complained about all kinds of things. God, I can't believe I'm in this situation. I did this for you. We're just doing your work, and here we are. Though I believe that Paul and Silas began to think about their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as he endured that holy week, as he endured those beatings, as he endured those stripes were placed upon his back, as he endured carrying that cross down that lonely road to Golgotha, and as he was nailed to that cross, and as he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I believe they began, you know what, we're going to count ourselves worthy to be able to suffer for the sake of our Lord, and if it causes us some pain, well, right in the middle of this pain, I'm going to give him some praise. Right in the middle of this difficulty, I'm going to worship God. I'm not going to wait till we get out of here. We're going to praise God right now and see what he'll do in our praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You see, sometimes you got to have the attitude, hallelujah anyhow. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, you need to have the attitude of hallelujah anyhow. Hallelujah. All right, Abel, that's on the screen. If you can put it back up there. Hallelujah anyhow. Say it one more time. Hallelujah anyhow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah must have been a sweet sound to the Lord's ears. It was a sound that the enemy had hoped to choke out, but praise breaks the grip of the enemy and changes the atmosphere. I said praise invites the presence of God in your circumstances. You don't have to wait for Holy Ghost goosebumps to come over here and start praising God. I can start praising God in the dance right now. I can start praising God in the leap right now. I can praise Him by lifting my hands. I can praise Him by lifting up my voice. I can sing a song in the midnight hour and say hallelujah anyhow.
Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things. which are before me. I press on towards the mark for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, that I will lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of me. Psalm 145. He said, every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. And you've got to have the attitude of David in Psalm 34, when he said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear of it and be glad. He said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Is anybody out there to magnify with me? Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. He's worthy. Hallelujah. There's a scripture in Zechariah 14 and 17. That I want to draw your attention to for a few moments. It coincides well with our discussion today. Zechariah 14 and 17. And it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth that do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King. Are you with me? Which one of the families, whichever of the families that do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them, the Bible says, there will be no rain. That'll kick in a minute. In other words, no worship equals no rain. Plain and simple. The reason this verse is such a great revelation about worship is because rain is often symbolic of the presence and the person of the Holy Spirit. Praise is like a cloud that forms in the atmosphere. Once enough of it accumulates, it drops rain. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor one more time and tell him it's time to be a rainmaker. It's time to be a rainmaker. Oh, hallelujah. How is that? With your worship and with your praise. I'm here today to say our churches need rain. Our families need rain. Our neighborhoods need rain. Our county needs rain. Our city needs rain. Our state needs rain. Our nation needs rain. Our world needs rain. We need the rain of the Holy Ghost again to come down, hallelujah, and just monsoon over us and with the glory and the power of God. We need a fresh visitation of God in this day. If you're ever in the worship service, a worship service, and it feels dead or lifeless or cold or dry to you, here's what you need to do. Dig in and say hallelujah in there. Dig in and get your praise on. Oh, hallelujah. Get your praise on. Hallelujah. You got to put that thing on intentionally. You got to put on the garment of praise when the Spirit heavens. How do you know that the Spirit of heaviness tries to come over us? It tries to overwhelm us. It's a depressive feeling. And you can feel it in the air sometimes. It's like a lot of it's a sign of the times that we're living in, because we're getting closer and closer to the coming of Jesus. And there seems to be a darkness that's trying to pervade over the land. But Jesus said he's not coming back for a church that's lifeless. He's not coming back for a church that's weak. He's coming back for a church that's praying. He's coming back for a church that's on fire for him. He's coming back for a people that's looking for him without sin unto salvation. In other words, they're not living a lifestyle of sin. They're not sweeping sin under the rug and hoping that God doesn't see it or anybody else. But they're getting real with themselves and getting real with God, and they're putting it through the blood of Jesus Christ, and they're receiving cleansing. They're walking in the light as he is in the light. Amen. Praise God. I know there's many ways to praise, and I've mentioned some of them already. Psalm 134 and 2 says, lift up your hands in the sanctuary. Will you do that with me right now? Just lift up your hands in the sanctuary. You're worshiping God right now. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary. What does that mean? It means I'm surrendering. I'm surrendering to you, Lord. Hallelujah. I don't want somebody else to look at me raising my hand. I'm doing this for my Lord. This is for my Lord and my Savior. lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. It's a unique expression of praise because your fingertips distinguish you from everyone else. When you raise him to God, you're reaching out and touching him in a way that symbolizes your uniqueness in the very image of God. Praise him with musical instruments. Psalm 150, hallelujah. David was a warrior, but he was first and foremost a worshiper. He said, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He played music and he sang praises to the Lord since childhood. When David played his harp for King Saul, that distressing spirit that had tormented Saul had to leave him. I'm telling you, there's something powerful about music, and we need to utilize that. We need to utilize that like never before in these days that we're in, because the enemy is trying to oppress the people of God. But there comes a time, and I don't mean just to have an instrument. Sometimes you got to be your own instrument. Like Paul and Silas, they just lifted up their voices and they began to sing praises out to God. Shouting, through meditation, through being still, through silence. You can stand on your feet, you can kneel, you can lay down. The posture is not as important as the motivation of the heart. But how many of you ever been in a service which kind of seemed a little bit just, you know, kind of going through the motions? And all of a sudden, somebody said, hallelujah! You, woo, I felt that. Somebody else said, praise the Lord! And the next thing you know, there's more than one saying, praise the hallelujah! And the Holy Spirit just swept over the place, and people begin to praise and worship God. I'm here to tell you this morning, you don't need to wait for somebody else to start praising God. Don't you wait for the Holy Ghost goosebumps to come over you. You just come with an attitude, an intention, a deliberation of praise. I will bless the Lord before I ever get here. I'm already praising him. Before I ever step through those doors, I'm already worshiping him. Why? Because he's worthy. I've actually had a bad day. I've actually had a tough week. But you know what? Hallelujah. Anyhow, God is good. Hallelujah. Why don't you do that right now? Just begin to praise and glorify the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, we've all got those things, those buttons that the enemy likes to push to keep us from worshiping God, to try to lock up our praise. Some of you let the devil lock up your praise.
Yeah.
He's locked it up. He's kept you from worshiping. He's kept you from praising. It could be guilt. It could be shame. And the enemy just pushes that button. You don't deserve to praise God. You don't deserve to give us praise. You don't deserve to be free. I'm here to tell you this morning. The devil is a liar. You deserve to be free. You deserve to be whole. You deserve to be restored. Why? Because Jesus died for you. Jesus gave his life for you. Hallelujah. He's going to shed that the whole time. I said, the Lord died for you. He didn't just die for the religion. He didn't just die for the sake of holiness. He didn't just die for those who got it all together all the time. He died for a few people like you and me who fall short of the glory of God and made the grace of God every single day of their lives. I'm here to tell somebody there is hope for you in this restoration because of the cross. Hallelujah. Yeah. Come praise you. You know what the best kind of praise is? The best kind of praise is that praise that's born out of affliction. It's born out of pain. Sometimes that pain is self-inflicted. And sometimes that pain is because you're a victim of your circumstances. But either way, the best kind of praise is born out of that pain and born out of that brokenness. And born out of that shame. And born out of that place where I don't feel worthy. It's Jesus Christ that makes you worthy. Hallelujah. He became the righteousness of God for us. Hallelujah. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's a word for somebody here today. Let him clothe you in his righteousness. I know yours is a filthy rag. I understand that. Mine is too. But thank God for his righteousness. Maybe there's been a fiery furnace in your health, in your marriage, your kids, a work situation. You found yourself in the midst of the fire. Maybe that Python spirit, spirit of Satan, tried to coil itself around you and choke out the life of God. Trying to twist the purposes of God and make you feel abandoned and forgotten. Do not be deceived by that liar. The devil is a liar. Hallelujah. I just came to remind you this morning, the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. He's the father of lies. He can't speak the truth. There is no truth in him. Set your heart on God, who is faithful, who loves you, who has called you and equipped you to overcome. Hallelujah, an overcomer.
Yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
You're an overcomer.
Thank you, Jesus.
By the blood of the Lamb.
Yes.
By the word of your testimony.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. And he who is for you, see, he's not against you, he's for you.
Amen.
He gives you the power to overcome.
Yes.
I've shared this story, I know, at least one time in the past. I feel like I need to share it again. Some years back, there was a fire that was started in South Bend, Indiana, in a computer store. And the local fire department was the first on the scene. They hosed the outside of the building, but it was having little effect on the fire on the inside. And as the fire continued to spread and become more intense, they sent out a call for assistance from some of the other fire departments. And one of the smaller departments from the neighboring county rushed to help. They had a small budget, and they had an old truck. And when they arrived at full speed, they went right over the curb, over onto the grass, and right through the wall into the building, of the building into the fire. And while they were in there, they pulled out their water hoses and went to work. They were able to do more from the inside than the other fire departments were able to do on the outside. And the next day, the owner of the business offered that little fire department a check for $10,000 in appreciation for the bravery they exhibited driving right into the middle of the fire. And when the press asked the fire chief what he would use the money for, he told them the first thing he was going to do was buy some new brakes for the truck. Those firemen had never planned to go right in the middle of the fire. Maybe you didn't plan to be where you are right now. Maybe you didn't plan to be in this financial predicament. Maybe you didn't plan to be where you are in your marriage. Maybe you didn't plan to be where you are in your career. Maybe you didn't plan to be where you are in your relationships. I don't know what's going on in each of your lives here today. I'm just here to tell you that God wants you to know he has you there, because there are things you can do from the inside, but that's not a situation that you can be there. Somebody help me, give him a good praise. things I don't understand. There's a lot of things I can't wrap my mind around. How about you? That's not going to stop me from praising.
Right. That's right.
As a matter of fact, 1 Peter 4:12 says that the trial of your faith, are you with me? That the trial of your faith be much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, might be found in the praise and honor and glory at the revelation or the appearing of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. No wonder James said, count it all joy when you fall in the various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces patience.
Amen.
And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be complete and entire, lacking nothing. He is trying to bring us to maturity. He's trying to bring us to be more conformed to His very image, to be more like Jesus. And there's some things that can only be accomplished by God in our lives by going through some things and leaning and trusting on Him in the process and giving Him a middle praise in the middle of it and not throwing in the towel and not saying I quit and not saying I can't believe God's allowing me to do this and bickering and complaining and whining and blaming God for everything. We all go through those pity parties, but you can't stay there. You got to get up on where you are and start giving God some praise. I was so